Welcome back to another Edge God In podcast. Thank you for pushing that pause button to Edge God In to your mind, your will, and those crazy emotions. Edge God In is the voice of the Emotional Intelligence in Christ Project. If you haven't explored us over there, please join our community. We actually send out a Emotional Intelligence in Christ tip, course correction thought for you to take to prayer pretty much by month or bi-weekly, so twice a month. And you can sign up for that at emotionalintelligenceinchrist.com. Also explore the resources there to empower you to become the boss of your emotions, so you're not so hijacked, rising and falling, depending upon your emotional state of being. Jesus is our ultimate mentor when it comes to managing our emotions well, as well as not giving the emotions the power to dictate our behavior, right? We're called to be representatives, ambassadors for Christ. Excuse me. And it's a job for Jesus, as you often hear me say. And we can't do this alone, my friends. And so to train up is a wonderful time, a wonderful opportunity to do that, because there's a lot of hijacking going on around our identities out there in our school. And perhaps you've been hijacked this week. Perhaps you had a great intention to make God recognizable and your face forgot about that. So your face was not reflecting the love of Christ in different situations. And that's what the emotions do. They actually slither in and transform our facial expressions, body language, intonation, which, by the way, is our major vehicle for communicating a message. 8% is the words that we use, 38% is our intonation, and about 54% is our body language. And as I said, this is a job for Jesus, because things come through us so quickly. Like my grandfather said, like poop through a goose. Shazam, you get hijacked. And so it's a wonderful time and spring cleaning our mind as we're focusing on how can we spring clean our mind so that we are completely attuned to one voice in this world. And that's the voice of the lover of our souls behind us, in front of us, around us, like a fish in water, as Mother Teresa said. We're engulfed by the love of God. And this one voice will give us the next directive. This is the way, walk in it. The definition of emotional intelligence in Christ, if you are not familiar with it, is one that is worthy of your contemplation. It's basically the power of the Holy Spirit within us that helps us to discern and manage our emotions and behaviors in a way that honors God. And so it's the activation, the power of the Holy Spirit within us to help us to be able to discern and manage our emotions and behaviors in a way that honors God. So if you haven't already done so, explore our 6-week journey, our 6-week study guide at emotionalintelligenceinchrist.com. We have the original book as well, and two assessments and a course if you'd like to take a deeper dive into that. Check us out, emotionalintelligenceinchrist.com. Edge God In, as I mentioned, is the voice of the emotionalintelligenceinchrist.com. Every topic that we discuss is it's basically learning how to train up so that we can get out of the way so that Jesus can lead. Our mind, our thoughts, our words, our emotions, as well as our behavior. So that when we stand before him, he can look at us and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You did take up your cross, the cross of the ego. And man, it does not go down easily." Just saying. Perhaps you were hijacked by the ego this week. I know I was. And it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, and how quickly can you recover? So this is recovery work that we're doing. Last week's podcast was entitled Spring Clean Your Mind. We learned about three stories that hijack your ability to communicate well: the victim, the villain, and the helpless story, which lead to two things: either silence or violence. We pulled from the masterful work of Crucial Conversations and applied scripture to that. So if you haven't checked that out, as you raise your high noticing around the stories you tell yourself, as we mentioned in last week's podcast, it's not the actual event that's happening, someone driving slowly in the fast lane, or somebody in a meeting not paying full attention, through your observation if you're facilitating a meeting, or somebody rolling their eyes at you. Those are just objective situations. It's the story we tell ourselves about those things that light a match to the haystack of our emotions. And we are great storytellers. So, what is your story? Next time you are triggered, simply with the help of the Holy Spirit, ask for that discernment. What's the story I'm telling myself that's causing me to get upset like this? That is triggering my emotions. What is that story, God? And then, with the help of the Holy Spirit within you, we call it the EIC method, which you have the opportunity to practice in the 6-week journey, 6-week emotional intelligence in Christ, 6-week study guide, so that you can anchor a different way of responding, so that you don't rise and fall depending upon what's going on out there in Earth school. The power that works within us is greater than anything in the world. And 1 John reiterates that. What is our victory? Our faith in Christ. And remembering that the world and its desires pass away, but the man or woman who does the will of God lives forever. And that is our victory, the power within us. So it's a matter of remembering. Today's podcast is entitled Spring Clean Your Mind. We're doing a little spring cleaning series here at Edged God In. For those of you that are doing small group studies, keep going. This is a good little study here on how to spring clean our mind from the things that hijack our inner peace and confidence and our sense of security. The series we did before this was based on four idols that Jesus wants to drive out of your life to set you free. And we discussed over several podcasts those four idols. We broke them down: insecurity, attachment, pride, and greed. So that's another one to explore if you haven't already done so. So we continue our conversation around spring cleaning our mind. Today, we will refocus our attention on three things for success. At the end of this podcast, you'll learn those three things and be invited to go out there and give your focus, meaning this is a gift stop for you to refocus. So whatever you're focusing on today, at the end of this podcast, you'll have the invitation to refocus, meaning shift your focus from those things that perhaps might trigger you, cause anxiety or worry. Worry is a story we tell ourselves about something that hasn't happened in the future that results in stress. Stress is the power we give to the outside world to determine what we believe we're capable of handling successfully. All things are possible through Christ who gives us strength, my friends, all things. Satan will continually try to deceive us in order to divert our attention from God, divide us, and ultimately discourage us. Those are the four ordinary activities of the devil we learned about. Don't forget, when you're aware of them, you can call them out and do a course correction, an emotional intelligence in Christ course correction. So, what are these three things that we want to refocus our attention on, right? We'll get into that. First, let's invite the Holy Spirit in to guide this conversation, because I know if he doesn't show up, then what needs to be said will be overridden by my own ego. Sweet Jesus, we just thank you for the opportunity to explore being human in this world, being in the world, but not of the world. Give us the grace of wisdom. I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight for the edification of everyone who's tuning into this podcast today, and bless them, Lord. Speak to them through our message today. Give them the grace to course correct and refocus their attention on these three things for success. And I know you know the success that I'm referring to. May you be glorified in today's message. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's jump in there. When I say refocus your attention on three things for success, what comes up for you? How do you define success? Think about that for a moment. Another way to jump into that is I know I'm successful when. What pops up for you? When I achieve this goal, when I get a certain certification, when I am able to master this addiction, when I'm able to repair a relationship. I know I'm successful when I have a certain amount of money in the bank account, when I can buy a house, a car, when I'm able to do this or that. Or I know I'm successful when I know that I know that I'm living in two things, a place of surrender and a place of trust. Surrender and trust. As Mother Teresa said, God didn't put us here to be successful as the world defines success. He put us here to be faithful. So I'm referring to success with that framework. Success in God's eyes, right? And when we are successful, that means that we are living a surrendered life that's built on trust and faith. That's success. That means that no matter what storm hits you, my friend, you are able to remember who's ultimately in charge here, who knows you by name. Success is when you know down to your bones that it is God who works within you to will and to act according to his purposes. Success is when you know without a shadow of a doubt that God adores you, that you are the handiwork of God created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he's prepared in advance for you to do. Anxiety and stress come in when we think we're in control. As we've talked about before, counterfeit, that's counterfeit control. Same theme, different stage. Satan in the garden was using counterfeit control. Hey, Eve, God didn't mean that. He just doesn't want you to know what he knows. He's withholding, right? And that's something that Satan continually gets us in our ego. Hey, God's withholding from you, or you deserve more, that sense of entitlement, right? That lead to the victim, villain, and helpless story. And silence or violence. Silence being stonewalling people. I'll show you. I'm not going to talk to you for a couple hours. Then how does that feel? Or violence. That's ugly talk or defensive behavior of any kind, including gossip, using harsh words, talking about people behind their back, talking about yourself badly between your two ears. That was last week's podcast, three stories that hijack your ability to communicate well. But we're shifting our focus here, my friends, on three specific things for success. And before I share those three things, let's jump into the scripture reference for today, which is from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, Jesus, let's go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat against the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They woke him up and said, Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing? He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. When the wind ceased and there was a dead calm, he said to them, Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? So let's put this in a little context. This didn't come before any miracles were done. They had seen tons of miracles by the time they were in this boat on the sea in this storm. They had witnessed the power of God in and through Christ, his son. They had seen a a man with a withered hand, the hand completely restored. They had witnessed several healings and demons driven out of people. So it's not like they didn't have evidence that demands a verdict that we're safe. So therefore, I can surrender myself even in the midst of the storm. Now, this passage is very close to my heart. When I was diagnosed with advanced cancer back in 2006 and given 5 years to live with my three young children, they were 8, 10, and 12, and it happened 1 week prior to my final divorce court date. And during that time, I had many moments that it got very, very dark. Through 2 years of chemo, 6 weeks of daily radiation, 14 surgeries due to third-degree burns on my back. They had to graft my back onto my front, so I don't know if I'm coming or going most days. I had a MRSA staph infection. I remember one time in particular, I think I've shared this before, they were looking for the intensity and how much it spread, which it did through my lymphs. We were waiting for the results of that test, and it was after my double mastectomy, and so I was bald and breastless. I was going through the Red Devil chemo at the time, and my parents were there in my room, and we got the phone call. And God showed up within my soul. I had cried a ton. I mean, this is several weeks into the treatment. I was about to say the training because it was the training. It was the Earth School class called Do You Really Trust Me? Well, then keep surrendering and have faith. And I was re-enrolled quite a bit during those 5 years of advanced treatments. And this particular moment was a moment of victory over my emotions, because rather than focusing on the storm, I refocused on the power of God within me. Rather than focusing on the waves of inconvenience, of frustration, of not getting what I wanted, I refocused on the power of Christ within me and his ability to do the impossible. And I made up my mind before this phone call that no matter what they told me, I was going to continue to surrender myself to God. I was going to continue to trust and have faith that He was ultimately in charge here and that this would not end in death. And I made up my mind before jumping into the ring of that moment that could have been very emotionally charged, who was in charge. So when I got the news, the Holy Spirit welled up within me because I prayed for protection right away. And I heard, do not fear. This will not end in death. And so I knew that I could trust deep within me. Now, was this always the case? Absolutely not. As you've learned from other podcasts and other stories, there were many times I was in the dark night of the soul and doubting and crying and screaming. And fearful of leaving my children without a mom, many times of setback. However, as I refocused my attention from what I wasn't getting, I wanted to get a clean bill, a good report that the cancer didn't spread through my lymph system. I didn't get that. What I did get was the power of the presence of Christ within me to overcome even the deepest fear. What I did get was the grace to be able to continue to trust, even though I didn't get what I wanted, even though the storm was beating against my boat and flooding the boat. I was given grace. And as I got off the phone, my parents were eagerly waiting. I remember my dad was in the corner of my room. I said, well, it's not the results we wanted, but I know God's in charge. And at that point, my dad knew, and he started sobbing. And it's funny when I tell this story, when I speak and share this story, I get emotional now. But at the time, I had a strength within me that far surpassed that news to the point where my dad came over to my bed. I had tubes coming out of my side from the double mastectomy. I was bald and in a lot of nerve pain. However, in that moment, I felt nothing but peace. And so I remember hugging my dad and saying, "Dad, this will not end in death. God is with us." And I can say to this day, that was a huge class for my dad as well, my parents. And my dad's faith is stronger today now than ever. And that was one of the seasons that God took him through, the storm that God took him through, to remind his mind of what his soul always knows. Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? And in an instant, peace, be still. He calms those storms within us. Insecurity, by the way, that was one of the podcasts, How to Be Free from Insecurity, is when we place our security in anything but God. So here, let's look at the scene a little closer. The disciples were placing their security in this little boat. And as they saw that the elements around this boat were overwhelming and beating against it, they lost their security in Christ, even though they just saw him heal a withered man's arm and cast out demons and heal those who were sick and clamoring just to touch the hem of his cloak. And that all went out the door in an instant. So, my friends, we're fragile, we're sheep. And God has compassion on us. This is not a matter of if or never feeling spun or giving power to the world outside of us. This is simply an invitation to recover quicker. When you get hijacked by the storms that are beating against your boat and the water that's swamping you, as the disciples were, be aware of where is your focus. Perhaps you've been trying really hard to have a breakthrough professionally speaking today. Perhaps that's you. And so you've been beating against the waves and feeling like your boat's sinking and clearing out the water. And I am trusting God. I'm trusting God. I work with a lot of executives and that are seeking advancement. And the storms get pretty rough out there. And again, it's where is your locus of control? When you realize that God is in control and you live from the inside out versus the outside in, then you can experience that peace, be still, Jesus sleeping on the cushion within your soul, which, by the way, he always is. And I'd like to propose you thinking about Jesus sleeping on a cushion within your soul always as a metaphor for the peace of Christ is always available to you. And I'm glad I went through the kind of suffering I went through so that I can stand here today by God's grace and miraculous healing power through my experience of advanced cancer to testify that He will not leave you empty-handed when you turn and shift your focus from the problems, the waves, the wind, the storm, the water, to the solution, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And this doesn't mean you're going to get what you want. Believe me, I did not get what I want. I had so many setbacks during those 5 years. That was just one of them. The greater gift is he gives you the ability, the grace to continue to have faith that is bigger, bigger than whatever potential setback there is. So you have something at the base of your neck called the RAS, the reticular activating system. I've talked about it before, but it's important to remind us that we have this. This is part of how God wove us together. And this reticular activating system has one job. It's like a little lawyer, simply put, and it will hunt and gather information based on your choice of focus to back it up. So, for example, if you think life is against you, that nothing ever works out for you, guess what? The reticular activating system will start to hunt and gather pieces of information. It's like artificial intelligence. It will just literally grab all of the sound bites and pieces of information that back up your choice of focus. Nothing's working out for me. And that's how quickly your ship can sink. With Christ in our boat, we can shift our focus very quickly from the storm, from the anxieties and the trials of life, and we can confront our ego that's very scared. It has no power beyond itself. And Jesus is asleep on the cushion, utterly at peace, completely resting. He stands for the divine power that is asleep within us all. This is a divine power that we have. I read a reflection on this that spoke about that. He symbolizes that divine energy that remains unaffected by the fear storms generated by the grasping ego, as I read in this reflection. So we have a choice here. Jesus woke up, right? The disciples woke him up out of the fear, right? This divine power is always successful in the midst of storms and always, always calms the waves. The presence of Christ within us, my friends. If we can learn to live at this deeper level, if we can learn to live in this basic trust rather than fear, then we can withstand even the most frightening storms that hit us. Jesus asked the disciples, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" Meaning, hey, you guys have seen me do things that are miraculous. He's wondering, why haven't you let go of the ego mind or edging God out, right? That's how the podcast started over a decade ago. Edge God in, not out, to override the fears, the fear storms in life. So God is inviting us to shift our focus. Remember that reticular activating system. Cool thing is you get to program it. Is life for you or against you? Is your security grounded in Christ? All things are possible for you today because God is with you and has plans for you. Or have you spilled out of yourself and you keep ruminating on what someone said or didn't say or do or didn't do? So you're placing your security on a different attachment. That was the second podcast in the five-part series of the idols that Jesus wants to drive out of our temple, we being the temple. So let's sum this up today. Refocusing our attention from the storm to Jesus. So I'm going to propose three things, and you can write these down on a little sticky note. If you're driving, obviously don't do that. Remember them and write them down when you get home or re-listen to this, the end part of this podcast. But there's three things here, and I've been sharing these three things quite a bit over the last 2 weeks, thinking about them myself. Three things. Refocus our attention on three things for success. Success meaning success over the storms of life, meaning that the winds can blow, the storms can hit, and yet we stay centered on the peace of Christ within us and his ability to handle whatever it is in front of us. That is success, my friends. That's true success. No matter what happens, that you're able to maintain an inner knowing that God's in charge. That's success. I say that with such conviction. Because I was so out of control when I lost my breasts, my marriage, my hair, my eyebrows, my eyelashes. Everything I had planted my sense of security on, gone. And God was faithful. God is faithful. So, three things. One, cast your net. Jesus tells us to do this. He told Peter to do this several times. Cast your net, cast your net, cast your net on the other side of the boat. Right? It's not working on this side. Let's cast your net on this side. Two, trust in Jesus. Three, stop the stories. So these are three things to refocus your attention on, ultimately shifting your trust in Christ. Cast your net, trust in Jesus, stop the stories. Cast your net, trust in Jesus, stop the stories. Rinse and repeat. Cast your net, what does that mean? Jesus always invites our participation. Peter wanted to walk on water. Step out of your boat and take a step. Peter was feeling defeated because of no fish two different times when Christ rose and when Christ called him. So reestablishing, and we've talked about this before, but he caught 153 fish when Jesus rose from the grave and he was on the beach. And that second scene of the Peter went back to his old patterns. Hey, this is what I know I'm good at, so I guess I'll just go fishing, even though I just encountered the Son of God. And he's calling me to be a fisherman of men. I'm going to go back to what's familiar. We do the same thing because we are afraid and we stay small. And God wants us to live big in the big soul with God, his calling for us. So he says, cast your net. They caught 153 fish, which, by the way, at that time in that tradition, they put numbers to letters. And 153 translated as I am God. So he was reestablishing to Peter at that time, I am God. And he's doing the same thing for you today. You're pulling up empty nets, feeling frustrated, discouraged. Satan's clapping. I got you right where I want you. Don't bite. Just keep casting your net in faith. Jesus will fill your net according to his good and perfect will for your life. He has plans for you. If you feel discouraged and you feel that your gifts and talents aren't aligned with what you do, that's a discernment process. That's a good opportunity for some coaching, just saying, to shift. When we align our values and our talents that God has given us with the behaviors that we're doing, that's when our net becomes full. So continue to cast your net. That means just keep going at it. Keep going at it. Whatever God has called you to do, you just keep on doing it and trusting until he gives you the wisdom and discernment. Many times he'll give you discernment because you will get very uncomfortable and it's time to shift your focus, shift your job, shift what you're doing, and be more aligned with what he wants you to do. Many times we do what we want to do because we think that's what people want us to do, or we think that's what we should do. But God has a perfect plan for us. He has plans for us. We're told that in the scriptures we talked about in the beginning. Second, as you're casting your net, you're trusting in Jesus. Jesus, I just made this phone call, sent this email, did this, did that. I commit it to you. You multiply it as you desire for your glory. Trust in Jesus. I trust you that if I don't get this, I really want it. If I don't, I'm going to continue to trust in you and surrender my life to you and have faith. You show me where you want me to go, where you want me to cast my net. And I trust you, Jesus, with the outcome. And the third is stop the stories. And we talked about this in the last podcast. So if you haven't listened to that, learn those three stories, victim, villain, helpless story that leads to silence or violence. Stop telling stories. When your net comes in empty, mine has come in empty so many times, my friends. I can't even tell you so many times I have an empty net. You know, I'll God will put a book on my mind, I'll write it and I'll put it out there and there's nothing, right? And I'll say, well, I thought you wanted me to write this book, and God has different plans for me. But again, that's not being attached to it. If for one soul, so let's say he calls you to do something for one soul's conversion. Yay. We're seed planters, my friends, not to be attached to the work of our hands. So stop the stories that you tell yourself around empty nets or the storms in life, because that's where Satan slithers in and lies to you. He'll give you counterfeit messages. He'll create something in the exact replica of something authentic with the intention to deceive you. See, God doesn't have your back. You put so much effort into that, and you got jack squat. You're on your own. If it's meant to be, it's up to me. He'll plant all kinds of lies. So stop the stories. Keep it simple. Lord, I cast this out there. I didn't get anything back. Glory be to you. You show me where you want me to go. Because I know my time's in your hands. My life is in your hand. So you show me where you want me to cast my nets, and I'll continue to trust in you no matter what. And give me the grace to stop the storytelling. Things aren't working out. I can't do this. Nothing ever works out for me. We start using what's called universal quantifying statements. Nothing, nobody, everyone. Nobody likes me. Everyone hates me. Think I'll Eat a Worm. That was a little s song we used to sing in elementary school. Not a very positive song, just saying. So focus on those three things. Cast your net, trust in Jesus, stop the stories. And take some time to dig in and camp on this Jesus stills the storm. Remember who's ultimately in charge here, my friends. Spring clean your mind of all negativity. Refocus your attention on casting your net, trusting in Jesus no matter what, being willing to course correct as he guides you, and stopping the stories. I just added that little extra one, trusting in Jesus and being willing to course correct as he guides you and stopping the stories. So, what's your big takeaway from today? Take a moment to think about that. Write it down, carry it with you. I don't want to forget this, God, because this will draw me closer to you. Enjoy your gift of life today, my friends. Keep praying for me, and I will pray for you. Give him heaven out there. God bless you. Talk to you soon.